Welcome to Onc Live On Air. I'm your host today, Caroline Seymour. Onc Live On Air is a podcast from Onc Live, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Onc Live covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, sponsored by Sirtex Medical, we have the pleasure of speaking with Mike Kusnier, MD, Chief of the Division of Hematology and Oncology and Co-Director of Gastrointestinal Malignancies at Mount Sinai Medical Center, to discuss the use of Sirsphere's Y90 resin microspheres from Sirtex Medical and metastatic colorectal cancer. Chemotherapy can be effective in all lines of therapy for patients with colorectal cancer, but it can also produce high toxicities. Current research is investigating treatment options using Y90 resin for patients that would allow them to avoid some of the toxicities associated with chemotherapy while increasing their treatment tolerance and prolonging their survival. Y90 resin shows potential as a maintenance therapy in patients with colorectal cancer that is localized in the liver who are looking to de-escalate chemotherapy. The microspheres can be leveraged in selective internal radiation therapy, where precise disease management is crucial. In our exclusive interview, Dr. Kusnier reviewed the benefits of isolating the liver in early colorectal cancer treatment, how patients have tolerated Y90 therapy, and situations in which Y90 therapy would be most effective for patients with colorectal cancer. Where is chemotherapy most effective in metastatic colorectal cancer?
So usually chemotherapy is effective in all lines of colorectal cancer. We do see chemotherapy being used all the way from the obviously adjuvant setting in the curative intent. But if we're kind of like discussing on the advanced setting, stage 4 colorectal cancer, chemotherapy has a role in all the different levels. The problem is not where chemotherapy has a role, but the problem is what toxicities does chemotherapy can have, and how do we try to prevent and spare the patients from some of the toxicities of chemotherapy while still prolonging their life.
What do we know about the benefit of maintenance therapy in colorectal cancer?
Maintenance therapy in colorectal cancer, it's a super controversial topic. When you look at the number of clinical trials that have been done of maintenance, you go from clinical trials that have shown that a little bit of chemo, namely mostly 5-FU maintenance, to biologics even, mostly with anti-angiogenics, and even more recently, there have been reports of some of the anti-EGFRs appear to be beneficial in keeping the patients for a longer period of time on the initial or subsequent lines of therapy, but more than anything, to extend the life of the different chemotherapy regimens that we're having. That's sort of where we are on the systemic basis. Now, if we are able to get the patients temporized by giving them something that is keeping the disease in the liver and controlling and doing what it's at the end of the day included on the different guidelines as cytoreduction, it will be beneficial as well. So obviously we always would like to have the patients be able to go for a complete resection and render them tumor free. But unfortunately, most of the times we can't. So that's the reason that we end up trying to get that maintenance and be less toxic with our systemic therapies and be able to get the patients some of the benefit of the other treatments.
Why should clinicians consider adding Y90 to maintenance therapy for patients with colorectal cancer?
So usually the biggest problem that we see in chemotherapy and colorectal cancer is that the patients tend to have an extremely good overall condition, and they tend to have that condition throughout their disease progression. The problem is that we start to get some of the toxicities of chemotherapy, namely chemotherapy-associated steatohepatitis, on the long run, that will impair the possibility of the patients to have that type of treatment on a much more prolonged status. So by getting Y90 and addressing the liver, which is the main site of disease in most of the patients with advanced colorectal cancer, we might be able to give the patients either chemotherapy holidays, intervals of systemic treatment, and might be able to prolong life not counting some other issues that we might be able to get the benefit of the liver-directed therapies. So Y90 microspheres, in my opinion, tend to have a role much earlier, kind of like on the maintenance setting, as we have the maximal response of the patients in their different disease status, and then getting the treatment at that time. Not to say that we also see a role in the chemo-refractory setting, because we see a lot of patients that come to see us for clinical trials and things like that, that have never been treated with Y90 microspheres. However, the disease continues to be just localized in the liver. And that's when we can also use them.
What data do we have with Y90 resin microspheres in the maintenance setting?
So the data is actually mixed back. The data that you have on Y90 microspheres on the frontline setting was essentially not significant. That being said, there were some subgroups that we probably can talk a little bit more later on about, like the right-sided tumors that tend to have a worse prognosis and things like that, having a benefit of the Y90 on the frontline. However, when you look at the data of using them on the subsequent lines of therapy and even on the maintenance setting, knowing when the patients achieve a maximal response, as well as second line, there's a lot of different studies, including data from the database that Dr. Andrew Kennedy has reported, of looking at large volume centers, that it has shown that the earlier that you treat the patients, namely because you're still most of those times having patients that have liver limited disease, the better you're going to be. So if you wait for later, when the disease is much more widespread into other organs, addressing the liver on isolation may not have as much benefit as if you do it earlier in the disease status.
Data have shown that Y90 can lead to stabilization of liver metastases, allowing patients to receive and tolerate more chemotherapy. What is the significance of that?
So there's several studies. There is data that we have seen that the number of lines of therapy in patients with colorectal cancer correlate with survival. So a patient that gets only a single line of therapy may survive somewhere around 15 to 18 months nowadays with biologics as well as some different lines. However, patients that receive multiple lines of therapy are now usually on the 30 plus months of survival in colorectal cancer. If we consider Y90 another line of therapy, you might continue to extend that. And actually, that's been seen in some of the studies in which some of the patients were able to have progression-free survivals that were in the 7 to 8 month ratio. So you may say, well, that doesn't sound like a lot, 7 to 8 months of progression-free survival after Y90 liver-directed therapy with microspheres. However, when you consider that the median survival is what I just told you, of one of the lines of therapy being 10 to 15 months, it's an improvement of the frontline therapy by an additional 50%. So it's significant. It's quite significant when you even look it into consideration that the average of our patients with metastatic colorectal cancer are surviving 30 months. If out of those 30 months, we can do a therapy that it's a single or two doses of a liver-directed therapy, spare them from systemic therapy for a while, and by them 7 to 8 months, it becomes very significant.
In what situations have you or would you employ Y90 in your practice?
Yeah, so in my practice, it's usually of trying to get the patients early when their liver-only disease, meaning that I induce them with chemo, get their maximal response, and at the moment that I get the maximal response, I start withdrawing the chemotherapy and trying to move on quite rapidly with liver-directed therapy. It's and then it's even the possibility of looking at some of those patients that I would have considered borderline resectable if they may not have become resectable with the chemo alone, trying to make them resectable with the Y90. So we're always trying to still get the patient absolutely tumor-free if it's possible. So the earlier I'm intervening and trying to get that patient there, the better I am. But even when I see that there is not going to be a hope because of like really widespread disease in the liver to take the patient for a resection, I still prefer to spare liver parenchyma as much as possible by giving those patients the Y90 earlier. Again, that being said, I see a lot of patients in a setting where I get referrals for clinical trials, and a lot of the times the patient that comes in to see me for a third line or subsequent clinical trial may not have seen any liver-directed therapies, yet be liver-only disease. And before I even sometimes offer them some of the different options, I'm like, you probably will be able to get this technology while we decide on the clinical trial and to make sure that there is less toxicity in the liver as the disease is more widespread. But the overall practice pattern that I follow, it's earlier, I find it better.
How is the treatment tolerated?
When you compare Y90 microspheres to the poisons that we give to our patients, and at the end of the day, chemotherapy is controlled poisoning in most of the cases. We have now a lot of the targeted agents that tend to be quite targeted, however, not completely targeted to the point that we're blocking the EGFR receptors and giving the patients terrible acne, which is even part of the reason that the EGFR maintenance has been called into controversy, because it still gives the patients quite a bit of side effects. So it makes no sense to do some type of maintenance of something that is giving side effects. While the Y90, most of my patients get treated on an outpatient basis, same day, they're home. Most of the times they may have a little bit of a, I would call it even just fatigue, tiredness, minimal amount of side effects. And they're really back in their activities by the next day. So it's extremely, extremely well tolerated. I'm not kind of like sugarcoating and saying that there's not patients that could get radiation-induced liver damage. Every patient that we treat with anything that we do could get toxicity. The frequency of those side effects is so low that we do it with absolute confidence. We're still required to tell the patients, obviously, that there's a possibility of getting radiation-induced liver damage, but it is actually in the below 10% range, which is even less than what we see with our standard cytotoxic drugs.
Is there anything that you would like to emphasize to others who are not as familiar with this product?
Yeah, I think, first of all, that it's important that you keep it in mind, that you use it. The second one is that it does get a good level of patients to a resectability rate. There's some data, like, for instance, what it was done on the resect analysis, that it was a post-hoc analysis of the frontline study. And what they saw initially was that the amount of responses did not look that impressive. However, when they blinded the investigators and showed them only the liver images and see if the patients may have become resectable, over 10% of the patients that were considered non-resectable at the beginning became resectable. When you look at the numbers on that 10%, those patients are, instead of facing a 30-month average median survival, they're usually over 55-month median survival. So if we're improving the life of that 10% of the population by going to a full resectability rate, is super important. The second thing that I believe that it's important is that it appears to be that it's quite active on the worst players, which is also important, because we tend to believe that right-sided colorectal cancers are of extremely poor prognosis, even when you compare them to left-sided colorectal cancers. When you look at that patient population, again, post-hoc analysis, but that data of right versus left was evolving as all these studies were being done, but they showed that the biggest benefit of using liver-directed therapy was also in the patients that were poor players. So it's super important to consider that a patient that is facing a worse prognosis is the one that requires the more interventions, which does make sense. One of the things that it's actually important to cover on Y90, that it's also a doubt that I get a lot of questions from around the country even, is if it can be safely combined with the chemo. So one of the questions that I get asked quite frequently is like, when do I withhold chemo and when do the patient is able to get biologics in combination with the Y90? So the answer is, in the original study, the combination was with the doses of chemo a little bit on the low side, and that's probably part of the reason why the study was negative. However, it can be safely combined. most of the interventional radiologists are concerned of using antiangiogenics quite close to the Y90 injection. Part of it is because they're concerned of pseudoaneurysm at the puncture site. So not at the liver, not at the at any of the other issues, but there's still a little bit of the risk of antiangiogenics and intestinal perforation. And since one of the side effects could be abdominal pain, you don't want to be suffering of not knowing if the patient may be having toxicity from the Y90 of just normal mild abdominal pain or a much more serious effect such as a perforation, not related to the Y90, but related to the antiangiogenic. But all that being said, safely, absolutely, to combine with chemotherapy almost at standard doses. Most of us don't do it. Most of us will give the patient a chemotherapy holiday, as we're anyway getting the patients into the maintenance phase of their treatment. But it's safe to combine them.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive On Air, sponsored by Sirtex Medical. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at OncLive and OncLiveSOSS. On Facebook, like us at OncLive and OncLive State of the Science Summit, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you like today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you are there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.